The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
So you're getting out your bracket. You're going to be filling it out. You're going to be entering in maybe two or three of these different kind of pools for whatever it is. Maybe it's for entertainment purposes only. Or maybe you're just in one. How do you differentiate yourself from everybody else that's going to be picking Duke, maybe like you? Well, you could go again and not pick Duke. Or you can start finding gems in this tournament where you may, where people may be overlooking. Right? Maybe a Murray State is the team you're interested in. Maybe even take Florida State of four to make a deeper run than most teams will have them. But in the end, this is what I love about this tournament. I love it because of the openness of it. I like it because we can have some fun with these kind of picks. We can have these matchups in these games that, you know, we just, in the end, you can make just a selection and you can see where it lands, and you can make a bold prediction and see where it lands. It lends itself to the kind of entertainment. And what sports does, this sport does better than any other, is it draws the casual to non-fan into its existence. We always talk about the Super Bowl, right? So many people watch the Super Bowl, they really aren't NFL fans. It's the only way you can get the numbers that you can get that are just extraordinary from a television perspective, is if you draw people in who are not even sports fans to just the overall celebration of the sport. What the NCAA tournament and this bracket thing has always done is it always allows people to get into college basketball for a brief period of time when it matters most to the college basketball world, tournament time, because they're filling out a bracket. Even if they don't know who's who, and even if they're just looking at it from, oh, I don't know, I just like that team's color, or I like that team's mascot, it's still drawing a lot of eyeballs in. And I think that's the brilliance of this. It's the weirdest way, I think, to determine a national champion, because there's just so many teams. You're not, in the end, you may not even get the best team that wins it. You just get the hottest team that wins it. But nobody cares. Nobody worries about that. The fact is that this is a fun journey for those of us who love college basketball to those who don't love college basketball. So filling out your bracket and just having a good time with it, whether you're 5 years old or 95 years old or whatever it is, I think it's the brilliant part of this. And when they expanded this thing in the mid-80s, I think it added an element to the sports world that is so unique and fun. I'm glad this is what it is. I'm glad that nobody else has messed with the same kind of formula, because it works so well in this format.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, I've been giving this advice all day when it comes to filling out your bracket, all morning anyway, is that, listen, don't go too crazy with the upsets. I know people love upsets. I think people like to be the one that picks the one nobody saw coming, right? When Bradley beat Kansas, that one, if you had that, man, you had bragging rights. If you had Loyola Chicago going deep and nobody else did, it's kind of cool. It's kind of a cool feeling. Makes it sound like you know this sport better than most people. But if you're filling out your bracket, don't go too crazy with the upsets. When in doubt, go chalk. Don't think like a 15 is going to beat a 2. It's unlikely to happen. 16s don't beat 1s except one time, and that was last year. Don't pick it. It's not a trend. But when it comes down to like 12s and 5s or 6 and 11s, take a gamble with one. The problem is make sure you land the right one, which you won't be able to know. But I'm just saying, don't go too crazy. Don't make your brackets so upset heavy that you and then ride with it. I always, if I'm going to go with an upset, I rarely take that upset further down the road, right? If I think, for example, I'll take the Marquette-Murray State game, for example. I really like Murray State a lot, but I don't like, if I look at it and say, well, Marquette's really good. They got Marcus Howard and John Morant is, you know, this is going to be a really good matchup. And I could see Murray State making this upset. I'm unlikely to take Murray State to the next level, like to the next place. I like to confine my upsets. It does run the risk of a good run, like when Florida Gulf Coast made it. If you had them early and you kind of had them, you know, topped off, it doesn't do you any good. But I don't want to get too crazy with my upset picks. If I land one, great, but I usually keep it contained. In the end, let's just be honest. In the end, this is Duke, Michigan State, North Carolina. You know, these are the top teams are the top teams for a reason. They're good. They're complete. It doesn't mean that, you know, that we won't see a fun Cinderella type story, make an Elite Eight appearance or a Final Four appearance. But remember, don't go nuts. This tournament historically has awarded more of the blue bloods, the traditional college basketball powerhouses, than it ever has giving a trophy to a team, you know, by surprise, a team that shocked the world, right? That usually doesn't happen. It's too many wins to shock the world.
Well, I think you might be onto something here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to advise everyone, pick all the lower seeds. Pick all the upsets.
Go ahead. Pick all the upsets. Yeah, pick all the upsets.
Because then when that one lands, you can say, yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, see, that's why people like to pick the upsets. It makes total sense. Like, if you have it, it's a great feeling, man. There's nothing like it. Like, I've landed a few. Not too many, but I've landed a few. And it makes you feel great when you have it and nobody else does.
Yep.
And a lot of times, to be honest with you, just to give away my secret, it is nothing more than gut feeling. Like, I'm not doing statistical research on KenPom or anything like that.
No.
I'm just like, you know what? I saw that team one time and I like the way they play and I'm going to give it a shot. And then it lands and man, you feel good for the day.
I also always pull a little history, even though there's no basis for the history because it's a totally completely different team. But I mean, one I'm looking at, which I don't know if it would be considered an upset, but I might lean towards Iowa over Cincinnati because traditionally Cincinnati's never performed well.
Yeah, that's true. Even with Bob Huggins when he was there,
yeah.
Then they make one run with Kenyon Martin, but that was really it.
I think that was it. But every single time, they're usually like a one and done. And there's no basis for this because this Cincinnati team is vastly different than all the previous Cincinnati teams that have been in the tournament.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's just one of those things like, you know, maybe history. Maybe there's just, you know, maybe there was some witch put a curse on Cincinnati many, many years ago, and that's why they keep losing.
Well, I look at threes and fours. I like to take one that I really like. And this year, I really like Florida State. Very fun. They have a player. I can never pronounce his name. I'm even going to try.
Yeah, don't
I think
don't
it's Cavalgelli. I pronounce it. I've pronounced this like 15 different ways, and I never get it right. But they got Terrence Mann and Trent Forrest. They're good players. Phil Coffer is a good player. So they've got some really good they've been playing really good basketball lately. They've been a nice run in the ACC tournament before it stalled out. But okay, I like them as a four, so I take them.
How about this? Because first round, you know, it's always, you know, it's a lot of times when you get to those mid-level or mid-tier numbers, like, you know, the sixes and the 11s and stuff like that. That's just really flipping a coin. But looking ahead, projecting second round, projecting teams that have already won, what upset do you see that could possibly happen?
Ooh, I'll have to take a look.
Because there's one that jumps out at me right away. And we talked about it last week. We talked about it with Dan Bonner last week. And it's the fact that, say, Syracuse gets by Baylor.
Yes. Okay, Syracuse against Gonzaga.
The Syracuse against Gonzaga.
Yeah.
That one I feel almost bad for Gonzaga for, because
yeah, that's a tough eight for Syracuse. People, yeah. That's a tough draw to get eight as a from Syracuse when the other eights are Utah State won the Mountain West tournament, so that they're a pretty good team as an eight there. But Syracuse, and then there's Ole Miss that's an eight. That's a good team but a beatable team.
Yep.
There's
VCU.
Syracuse is a different kind of eight. Syracuse is a good tournament team. Jim Boeheim coaches this tournament really well. He coaches in this tournament really well, of course, and they're known for their zone that's really hard to beat. And if you can't shoot your way out of it, it's a tough grind to knock off Syracuse.
But that's one I'm looking at. Like, God, could we see a number one going out in the second round?
We could. Very true.
I mean, because Syracuse, play in a much better basketball conference. Gonzaga, I mean, we talked about, momentum. Losing your conference tournament, does it hurt you? It obviously didn't hurt Gonzaga at all, losing their conference tournament. I mean, if anything, it helps St. Mary's get into the tournament. I don't think they would have made it if they didn't win it.
Yeah, well, that's always been the knock on Gonzaga and Mark Few. I mean, he's had teams that have gone to the Final Four and whatnot. But one of the knocks on Gonzaga for a long time was they would play these good non-conference games at the beginning of the season, but then they'd get to their conference and they'd roll through the conference. So now you're talking 2 months of playing teams that you're just beating easily and scoring a lot of points on. This tournament is different, right? You get everybody's best shot, et cetera, et cetera. Now, he's sort of been able to fix that. He's sort of been able to get his team more tournament ready than in years past. But, you go back 20 years ago when they were the darlings of college basketball, when they were an underdog, and then they sort of been able to – very rarely – I mean, you really think about this. Very rarely does a school go from complete underdog, my God, where is even Gonzaga located kind of thing, to being a perennial power on a consistent basis so that they are no longer that label. And that doesn't really happen a lot. Normally, if you're a Cinderella, you play, then you disappear for a while, then you may make a return visit. Gonzaga made it, stayed there. And that's pretty impressive because a lot of Cinderellas don't do that. But that was always the knock for years as to why they weren't getting success was, well, maybe their conference games aren't as tough as they need to be to get kind of ready for this tournament. Then few sort of been able to figure out. But drawing Syracuse as a possible matchup in the second round, you're right, is really tough because I don't care what Syracuse is going into the tournament. Boeheim coaches that team well enough. It wasn't that long ago. I think it was when it was in Houston that Syracuse made a Final Four run.
Yeah, and they, I mean,
and did really so have, from a mid seed.
And they didn't really have a team that was worthy.
Right, exactly.
I can't remember who was on that.
I think they even were a play-in game participant the year they did that.
But I think you're right.
They're a team that's well coached in the tournament and has a zone defense that's hard to play against. I mean, it's beatable because, obviously don't get to a play-in game without beating them. But some of these teams only play, this is the only time they play Syracuse.
Well, but it's also, like Dan Bonner said, that what makes Syracuse tough is right now Gonzaga has to focus on the winner of
Fordham and Prairie View, right? Fairleigh Dickinson.
Yeah. Fairleigh Dickinson.
Fairleigh Dickinson.
Not Emily.
No, not Emily. No.
But they got to focus on that game. Maybe they look past it just a little bit more than they should. Because it's not going to be a trap game for them. But they don't have enough time to turn around and prepare for that 2-3 zone.
That's true. This is like similar in college football where you play an option team and then you're like, how in the world did Air Force stay with Oklahoma, right? Or something like this. Because,
this was the exact scenario Dan Bonner brought up on our show last week. Is that this is what makes Syracuse tough is that you just don't. If they're able to get by that first round, that first game, because right now, Baylor, they have all week to kind of prepare for it. And kind of watch film and see, okay, we can do this, we can do that. The coaches can break it all down. But for Gonzaga, they're really going to have like almost 24 hours and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. One of the teams, I like Cincinnati a lot, like we were talking about. They could play Tennessee in round two. That could be a very good game.
That could be a fun game. But I already told you, I'm picking Iowa over Cincinnati.
You're going to pick Iowa over Cincinnati, so you're going to knock out that fun matchup. Although Iowa's not bad. I have no idea.
I didn't watch Iowa play at all. I just didn't really watch Cincinnati play that much. I just know, you know, traditionally, historically, Cincinnati's performed terrible in the tournament.
In the Columbus, Salt Lake, Midwest region, Kansas is a four. Ooh. And Kansas could play North Carolina, but they also could play Auburn. And Auburn's is hot right now. The problem with Auburn is that can go from hot to very cold very quickly. But that could be interesting. Kansas could find their groove and make a run again. They'll end up with North Carolina, but here was a team, because the Mountain West, I kind of have an affinity for the Mountain West, was Utah State. But they're not getting by North Carolina, so they're running this tournament. I think they'll beat Washington, but I think it ends. I thought Utah State could make a little bit of noise, but they're not going to beat North Carolina the first weekend.
And just one other quick thing. Do we, you know, when the CBS, when we're watching it on CBS or True TV, because that's all I'm going to have mine on is True TV.
True TV.
Once I find it, I'll never find it again.
Yeah, the Calbanero effect. You'll be watching promos for that.
Exactly. And don't they do court dramas still? Or
I think so.
Dumb cop or dumb stupid criminal
or
shows?
Repo Men or something like that.
I don't know. Yeah. But here's my thing, because, you know, undoubtedly it's going to happen that you're going to have upset alert flashing, and you're going to want to change the channel to whatever's channel that is, because you want to see the upset. Do we ever consider a 9 seed over an 8 seed an upset?
No.
And yet they'll still flash the upset alert.
Yeah, they will.
And it's like, no, that one was a coin toss by a committee. Like, let's just make... That's, you know, Syracuse's head, Baylor's tails. Let's flip it up. Syracuse is 8.
I don't even think like 7-10 is an upset. Like 6-11 is, but 7-10 is still.
Yeah, 6-11 and then down.
Yeah, that's it. 6-11 and then down. That's exactly right. 800-777-2907. Your thoughts on the bracket? Hit me up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. Also at Ron Culver with two N's. It's SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, don't take a chance on being stranded. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and get your battery tested. It's free of charge, one of the many services available. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people will help you find the exact battery for your car or truck. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. You know, the I've told you many times, I went to the South Carolina for college, and South Carolina Columbia is hosting a first round games. They're going to have Duke there. They're going to have VCU there. And they've done this before, but there was a period of time. A lot of people don't remember this, but there was a period of time where the state of South Carolina could not host any NCAA tournament games. They couldn't host anything women's tournament. They couldn't have it in Greenville. They couldn't have it in Columbia, Charleston. They couldn't have it in any place. They couldn't host a women's tournament or a men's tournament. And the reason that they did that was because for a very long period of time, the Confederate flag used to fly over the state capitol. At South Carolina, it used to fly right underneath the, the United States flag, the South Carolina state flag, and then the Confederate flag. And the NCAA said, no, not as long as you fly that flag, you can't host. And it was a bone of contention for a really, really long time. It was there. It was like that when I was going to school there eons ago. I want to say within the last decade and a half, maybe it finally got resolved and now they can start hosting these games. But I remember it was such a big deal. It was a really big conversation. It's amazing that the debate even occurred, even took place. I mean, but South, just to keep an eye on it. So when you see that South Carolina is hosting an NCAA tournament, remember it came with a lot of controversy many, many years ago when they used to fly the Confederate flag over the state capitol. Other regions that will be hosting: Salt Lake City, Hartford, Connecticut, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Jacksonville, Columbus, Ohio, and San Jose. I always like this because in San Jose, California, you have teams from the East region, like Virginia Tech. And, yeah. and uh, no. they have... They have to go to San Jose from the East region. The
1 year was, I can't remember who it was. I don't think it was like a Duke, North Carolina, but it could have been. It was something similar to that, where the schools were literally like 10 miles apart, but they had to play like all the way across the country.
Yeah, exactly.
And that'll always happen is, East region playing in the West Coast. Never, I don't know. That one doesn't make sense to me.
Kentucky is going to Jacksonville. They'll invade the city. They'll be all over that. But that 1 year, Kentucky went to Boise. And they flooded the city of Boise with Wildcat fans. That team travels. Man, that team travels like the Steelers. Man, that is unlike. Yeah. That is a traveling show when Kentucky goes on the road.
And I think it would be a disservice if you didn't have Kentucky play way far away from their homeland.
Yeah, sure, right?
Please do. And I think that might hurt them eventually in the seeding. It's like, we could put them right in their hometown. But no, let's put them across the country because
they should test
NCAA
this every
brand.
Year. Yeah, they should test this every list. Like, where can we put Kentucky? Like, what is the furthest away we could put Kentucky? Just to see. And they'll go. You could put Kentucky on Jupiter, and they'd be booking rocket ships to go see the Wildcats play. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. It's when at the SEC tournament in Nashville, there was all the news, because they always like to do this every year when it's in the news showcases Big Blue Nation. Like, they've come from far and wide across from the Commonwealth, run the neighbors to the north, descending on the city of Nashville. They're Kentucky Wildcat fans. And then they show a bunch of them outside of like a honky-tonk going, yeah, Wildcats, woo! It's a story every year. You could run the same story. They could can that and run the same story every year. It never changes. It never changes. They're going up against Abilene Christian as a 215 in Jacksonville, with the winner taking on the Wofford Seton Hall game.
I'm all over that Abilene Christian.
Abilene Christian. I think Abilene Christian plays in the Southland Conference, but I'm not 100% sure. I know Seton Hall plays in the Big East and Wofford plays in the SoCon, but I'm not sure about Abilene Christian. They must have had a good enough season. Maybe they won their conference tournament. Yeah, they did. I just looked it up. They play in the Southland Conference, and they won their conference tournament. They beat New Orleans. So they got the automatic bid and the right to play Kentucky.
Wildcats.
Yeah, Wildcats.
Hey.
That's great.
Wasn't it two Wildcat teams playing against each other?
Is it the Abilene Christian Wildcats?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know. See, we could play a game where you could give me schools that are in this that I don't know much about and have me guess the mascot. I'd probably get 40%. You know? I mean, I totally forgot Utah State was the Aggies.
Yes.
Like, if you had asked me, I would have said, I don't know, Bobcats.
And that's the same as New Mexico State, right?
Yeah, New Mexico State.
Because I always
Aggies,
get them confused with New Mexico.
Yeah, that's the Lobos.
The Lobos are one of – is New Mexico State the Lobos?
Yeah, New Mexico is the Lobos.
New Mexico is the Lobos. New Mexico State is the Aggies.
That's right. Belmont is the Bruins and Temple is the Owls. They're playing in a play-in game. I don't know North Dakota State. Don't ask me. I don't know North Carolina Central.
North Dakota State, isn't that the Bison?
That is the Bison. You're right. I get confused with North Dakota, which used to be the Fighting Sioux, and then they said, no, we're not doing that anymore. Or they didn't for a while, and then they didn't have a mascot for a while, which is kind of dumb. You should always have a mascot. If you want to change it, but have a mascot. North Carolina Central is the Eagles. That's boring. Be something different. Eagles. Don't be the Eagles. Be the Fighting Eagles or the War Eagles or the Super Eagles. I don't know. Be something other than Eagles. Eagles is basic. That sounds very high school. Be something cool. Prairie View A&M, they're the Panthers. They play out of the SWAC. They're also playing in Dayton. By the way, by tomorrow's show, I'm going to look up how Dayton got this. And Fairleigh Dickinson is the Knights. And the Knights are kind of cool because their logo is a chess piece.
Okay.
It's the horse from a chess set.
Nerd.
It's kind of neat. I don't know where Fairleigh Dickinson is. They play in the... Here's the thing. Fairleigh Dickinson plays in the same conference... I think it's the Northeast Conference. They play against Wagner, which is in Staten Island, Central Connecticut, Sacred Heart, which I think is on Long Island, if I'm not mistaken, LIU Brooklyn, which I believe is in Brooklyn, and St. Francis, Pennsylvania, which is in Pennsylvania, and Robert Morris, which is in Philly. So I'm assuming they're a Northeast school. I'm going to put them in, I don't know, New Jersey.
Oh, ding.
Is that it? Fairleigh Dickinson is in New Jersey? Cool.
Yeah, the location, which just doesn't make sense to me. Maybe you could shed some light on it. It says location, Hackensack, Teaneck, Florham Park, and Madison, New Jersey.
That doesn't make any sense. What, did the campus spread all over those towns, or is the towns all bunched together?
And it has two international campuses.
Does? Wow, that's Roxton, a big school.
Roxton College in Branbury, Oxfordshire, England, and the Vancouver campus in Vancouver, British Columbia.
Is it insulting for me to look at a school like Fairleigh Dickinson, who I have not followed at all this year, and just automatically assume they won their conference tournament and they just did not get an at-large bid because
no.
they had a really good year and maybe upset some teams?
No, because all these schools that you've never heard of before, we have to assume they won their conference tournament.
Yeah, exactly. You're looking at them going,
I mean, you know, I think what the one allowance a few years ago was St. Mary's. Like, they didn't win it, but they had a good enough team that they got an at-large bid.
Yeah.
Like, most of these schools, I mean, they all won their conference tournament. We know that.
LSU is playing Yale out of the Ivy League. That's wonderful. The Yale Bulldogs.
Is that the college scandal?
That's what I was thinking. I was just thinking that. I got Yale as a scandal. I got LSU as a scandal. Let's just chalk this one up and label it already. SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM. Again, it is Bracket Monday. It'll be Bracket Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, all the way through. I said this earlier, and I mean it in all seriousness. The NCAA tournament, for me, starts on Thursday. I think the Tuesday, Wednesday play-in games are cool. They're nice. It gives a team an opportunity to get in. If you're an 11 seed, now, it's not a terrible, terrible seed. It's not like you're barely getting in, and you have to play that extra game, and I don't want to disrespect the schools that are in there. But I think most people, the tournament starts on Thursday. I don't think many of us are captivated. We may watch, of course, but when you fill out your bracket, ask the people who are in charge of collecting yours, wherever you may be filling it out, when's it due? And they'll usually say by Thursday, by whatever time. It's not to get it in by Tuesday because of the play-in games. Patrick joins us. Patrick Stevens joins us from the Washington Post to discuss the college basketball tournament. How are you, Patrick?
I am well. How are you?
Good. Patrick, I started the show today saying, listen, I love Monday because of the tournament, because we get the complaining out of the way and then we get focused on basketball. And I don't really put a lot of respect to people who are complaining about seeding or being snubbed. But that the case, or is there anybody that is making a legitimate case that they should have been in this, that is not in this today?
Quite candidly, the field probably could have been about 50 teams this year, and there would be teams that wouldn't have a serious case for being snubbed. It was that kind of year where you got down around the 9 line or so, and there just weren't a ton of great teams. So if you're sitting there, you can certainly make a case for an Indiana or a case for an NC State or a case for a TCU. But all those teams could have won more games along the way, and they didn't. And in the case of NC State, they could have played a tougher schedule that might have enhanced some of their peripheral numbers, and they didn't. So I think this is not a year where the complaints of anybody, and we could reverse this, and if those teams had gotten in and say a Temple or a Belmont or a St. John's got left out, I don't think those teams would have had legitimate complaints either.
Is there anybody that's overly seeded or underseeded massively? I remember Kentucky, 5 years ago when they were at 8 and everyone went, oh, wait, this is a problem. Is there anything like that in this tournament?
Not really. I was a little surprised at a couple teams just with how they played in conference tournaments and down the stretch in general that wasn't necessarily rewarded. I think a team like a Seton Hall stands out that way. That was a 10 seed. I think you could argue that they could be on the other part of a 7-10 game. I was sort of pleasantly surprised that Utah State ended up as an 8 seed. I wasn't sure the committee was going to evaluate the Aggies profile as well as they did. And I think Iowa State is a 6, maybe a little bit underseeded. I mean, they did just go through and beat 3 tournament teams on a neutral floor this week. And I thought that they warranted a little bit better than a 6 seed. But at this stage, you're just kind of splitting hairs at that point. And ultimately, the Cyclones as a sixth seed isn't the worst thing in the world either.
Number one seeds in regions are very coveted. The ACC got three of them. Was that the right call by the committee? These are very good teams, but it was the right call to give that conference three.
Well, first of all, it's not so much giving the conference stuff; it's giving those individual teams.
Fair enough. That's a good point.
I thought it was the first, second, and fourth best teams on the board, but I think you could make a case for any one of seven teams. Including Kentucky, Tennessee, and Michigan State. I think most people would probably agree that Duke and Virginia belonged on that top line. And then you throw in North Carolina, Gonzaga, Michigan State, Tennessee, Kentucky. I think any of those teams had a credible case, and I think Michigan was an obvious eighth team for those top two lines. I thought that was really, really clear-cut, and it would have been pretty hard to explain if there had been another team that had been able to crack that two line when all was said and done.
Patrick Stevens joins us, Washington Post, on the NCAA tournament. We get a team that gets in one of the play-in games and they get into the tournament, they get a little fire. Do you like any of the teams that are playing in Dayton over the next 2 days to do a little bit of damage, maybe not a ton, but maybe make a little bit of a name for themselves?
Yeah, I mean, typically, you have one of those teams win at least one game. I mean,
right.
Syracuse made the Sweet 16 last year. Obviously, the VCU Final Four run is the thing that stands out the most. I think any of those teams on the right day, I mean, St. John's might be the weirdest team in the country. And you just don't know what version of them you're going to get. They're not particularly deep, and they're not particularly big. And at the same time, they have a regular season sweep of Marquette. They beat Villanova. They beat VCU. They have some pretty good wins. So they could just as easily lose by 20 to Arizona State or make a Sweet 16. That's a team I have trouble figuring out. Arizona State did almost all of its good work in non-conference play, and some of that's not really their fault because the Pac-12 wasn't all that great. So they're a little bit of a mystery team to me. And then you get Belmont and Temple facing each other, Belmont being sort of the team that all these self-appointed defenders of the little guy have been promoting here for more than a week. Temple, kind of an odd choice, team that really hadn't done much away from home. They'd beaten Central Florida and Houston there. It's Fran Dunphy's farewell tour, the longtime Philadelphia institution, both at Penn and Temple. And they get a Maryland team that has sputtered at times coming down the stretch. A team that last handful of games lost to Penn State badly on the road, lost to Michigan at home, then won a game at their regular season finale, and then had basically a no-show against Nebraska. So that's a team that I think is vulnerable as well. So whoever comes out of that Belmont-Temple game is going to have a shot to win. I think the big concern for both of those play-in winners is that they play a 9 o'clock game in their respective play-in games, and then they got to turn around and play a mid-afternoon game two days later. So that's a bit of a tough turnaround, especially for you think about like a Maryland, they're already going to be in Jacksonville by the time that Belmont-Temple game tips off in Dayton. So tough travel situation for both of those teams. You'd think the committee would be a little kinder, or at least the TV partners might be a little kinder and put those teams in night games as opposed to the afternoon.
Patrick, how do you look at a team like LSU without Will Wade? How does that work in terms of handicapping their possible run as a three seed? They lost to Florida in the SEC tournament almost immediately when they got to Nashville. How do you view the Tigers?
It's a good question. There is some history going back 30 years of a team that lost its coach who just basically left and then went on and won the national championship in 1989 Michigan. I am not making that comparison at all. That little pod down in Jacksonville, that might be one of the handful that you could legitimately say there's a chance that any one of the teams in it could make it out into the Sweet 16, whether it's LSU, whether it's Yale, which is a really good team out of the Ivy League, whether it's Maryland or Belmont or Temple. That's kind of open season down there. And I'm a little leery of LSU at this stage, although they did pile up a lot of really good wins over the course of the season. Tremont Waters is obviously fantastic as well. But the coaching situation is a variable that LSU has to deal with and pretty much nobody else does. So it has to be something of a concern for the Tigers heading into this week.
All right, Nevada-Florida is an interesting matchup to me because I saw a little bit of the Gators in the SEC tournament. They're starting to play a little well. They didn't enter the tournament playing well. But Nevada was a team that was like in the top 10 for a while. So how do you look at a game like that? That looks to me more of the interesting first-round matchups.
Well, Florida's a team that plays great defense. And on occasion, their offense is good enough to get the job done, at least against good teams. They obviously got the job done plenty over the course of the season. Nevada is one of those teams that just kind of has a switch. I mean, it's like they turn it on and off, and you know they were on TV enough throughout the season in those late night games. You get a chance to see them do that, where they kind of slog along for 10 minutes, and the next thing you know, they put together an 18-2 run, and the game's over. And then there's some games where the switch never got hit, and they ended up sputtering all the way through. It's a team that last year proved. They're never really out of things. You know, they had a couple of those comebacks in the first couple rounds of the tournament. So I view them as dangerous. They're maybe the oldest team in the field. And frankly, I would be very entertained to watch Nevada's offense go up against Michigan's defense in the next round. Regardless, I think the Wolfpack is going to have to be sharp from start to finish to be able to make it out of a Florida-Michigan combo in Des Moines.
We could talk about the top teams. What about a team that's like 4 or 5? Is there any that you like that's got a favorable seeding or is playing really well right now that people should pay attention to?
Well, I think you have a couple teams. It's almost easier to go in the reverse. A team like a Kansas State, for example, might be without Dean Wade, and they have a tough matchup against the 13 seed UC Irvine, winners of the Big West, and a 30 game winner over the course of the season. I don't think there's anybody that's particularly underseeded or overseeded in those 3 and 4 lines and 4 and 5 lines. You know, I think Auburn obviously playing well. They'll get a tough New Mexico State team that has dominated the WAC over the last decade. And then probably looking at getting Kansas, a little bit vulnerable Kansas given some of the personnel losses over the course of the season. So maybe Auburn, which just won 4 games in 4 days, has a chance to get things rolling here in the regional or in the sub-regional out in Salt Lake.
All right, I want to ask you about Duke because Zion Williamson changes a lot for a lot of people, and I'm sure there's going to be many people that will have Duke as their eventual winner in their bracket. This is being compared by some to the Anthony Davis 2012 Kentucky team. Do you see it like that, where this one particular player on this one particular team becomes such a heavy favorite for a lot of people throughout this tournament?
Well, I think Williamson is clearly a compelling player, and having had the chance to just see him down in Charlotte during the ACC tournament for a game, it was striking just in person. Sometimes TV doesn't do something justice, and that was definitely the case there. That said, Duke has an obvious shortcoming that has popped up a lot over the course of the season, and it's outside shooting. Now, it didn't pop up when they played Virginia the second time around, and they just looked otherworldly that night in Charlottesville. But ultimately, I think the path to beating Duke is going to be packing it in and basically daring teams daring the Blue Devils, whether it's with R.J. Barrett or Trey Jones or Cam Reddish or whoever, and just daring them to hit a bunch of outside shots. I mean, most people are not going to be able to keep Zion Williamson from doing the things that he does unless they clog the lane and make it very difficult for anybody, even somebody as talented as he, to be able to do the sorts of things that he does. But I do think that outside shooting is a vulnerability. And frankly, you look at Duke, and you know, they lost to Gonzaga earlier this season at full strength. They almost lost to North Carolina in the ACC tournament at full strength. This isn't like some juggernaut that's beating everybody by 30 points. I mean, they're not, I don't think they're invulnerable by any stretch of the imagination. Now, I do think that it will be hard for somebody to knock them out probably the first weekend of the season, of the tournament, and probably not even in the Sweet 16. But they are a team that, if they get matched up against some of those teams on the top 2 or 3 lines, is going to have to play well to advance. And it's not just simply one guy that's going to have to play well for them.
Great stuff, Patrick. Patrick Stevens, Washington Post. Really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
You got it. Again, Washington Post, Patrick Stevens, Bracketology. It's a tough business to get. You got to know a lot of stuff. You know, like if you can get, like in college football, you do this, you can get away with learning 20 teams, right? After that, it's like, this stuff, like there's 68 teams and you kind of, you got to know that like UC Irvine was a 30 win team and they won the Big West. It's good stuff. I really appreciate it. And he was right. I like the way he put that. Instead of the ACC getting three teams, each one of those teams earned it on their merit, and they just happened to play in the ACC. It's kind of a good way to look at it. All right, it's SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And this hour of SB Nation Radio, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I like Patrick a lot, Washington Post. Follow him on Twitter at D1. How did you do this? You said this earlier. It's discourse.
It's discourse, but the I is a one.
So it's like D1, but it's discourse. So spell discourse at discourse, but use the one. The I is a one, so it's like D1, and then you go. You got his Twitter and follow it because it's good basketball.
Yep, he knows what he's talking about.
Really knows what he's talking about. I have a ton of respect for people who know this.
Yeah.
It's one, like I know guys who cover the NFL and I respect their insight into the NFL, but you're talking 32 teams, you know, it's okay. It's not the hardest thing to do, but it ain't the easiest thing to do, but it's not the hardest thing to do. This is hard to know every basketball team, to know every conference, to know every trend in the conference, to know players in and out, especially the way college basketball is with a rotating shifting of players. I mean, you cover the NFL, for example. You can talk about Marcus Mariota with the Tennessee Titans for a few years. What's Marcus Mariota and the Titans are going to do in year this, and year this, and year this? College basketball, there's an ever-changing roster. Some guys stay, some guys go, some guys transfer, et cetera, et cetera. Coaches change. It's a really hard sport to follow because of the largeness of the pool that makes the competition. And plus, when you get to this tournament where they say every single conference has a representative, and you got to kind of know, listen, if when Villanova is playing, St. Mary's, or you got to kind of know St. Mary's, and that means you got to be up late if you're living on the East Coast. Like, those games start at like 10:30, and these guys who cover it really well, and their ability to sort of look at this bracket and find different trends. We'll explore this week as we get you closer and closer to filling out that bracket. It'll make you at least competitive. I can't guarantee a win, but at least competitive in your pool. It's SB Nation AM.